Blue Wire.
Guys, this is episode number 40 of That's What Bea Said. We are getting old.
I was about to say, does this mean that Bea Said is officially middle-aged now? Is 40 middle-aged?
Yeah, we can probably start applying for retirement benefits pretty soon here.
Get our... They didn't think we'd last past four episodes.
That's right. We hear.
Get our letters from AARP.
So I am your host, Breezy Klee, Bree Rust. I'm joined by Miss Mollis, Brittany. Hello, Brittany at Bird's Eye View.
Hello, everyone.
And Meredith is joining us on a Tuesday. Miss Meredith at MCAN Sports. Hi, Mare.
Hi, guys.
We missed you live on Sunday, but we know you were there in spirit.
I was there. Yeah, I had it streaming on my phone while I was working in the background and trying not to get caught.
We're glad you didn't. We're glad you're here with us tonight. All right, guys. So like I said, we have a show dedicated to our very own Cleveland Browns because it is the week of opening game. Like, who would have thought we would have gotten to this point? Who would have thunk?
I really didn't think that we were going to get to this point. I like months ago, I would have guessed that the NFL was just done.
Same.
And here we are.
Yeah, it feels very surreal that NFL season is kicking off in two nights. Also, it feels like a Monday. So I'm very thrown off by NFL football starting in two nights. That's crazy.
Also, we haven't had preseason games to like hype us up.
Yeah, is that what preseason games do?
Do they hype us? But like, it reminds you that it's football season because I was looking at the weather because I've inherited that much from my dad that I have to check the weather and the Weather Channel all the time. And the temperature is going to start dropping soon. And I was like, oh, that's fall weather. I got my like my pumpkin, well, it was a pumpkin spice latte. I got my pumpkin cold brew. And I was like, it's football. Like, that's what goes along with pumpkin lattes and boots.
Can we talk about pumpkin for a second
before
we get into Browns? Because this is important. This is very like near and dear to my heart. But like ever since I have a problem, number one. I can't stop at just like one pumpkin drink a day. I have to have at least two. And I also have pumpkin creamer. So like occasionally when I make my own coffee, which happens probably like once a week, I use pumpkin creamer. But now like ever since I started doing this pumpkin thing, I am so bloated all the time. Like, I don't eat anything. Today I had Brussels sprouts and, like, a turkey patty.
Well, that's why you're bloated. That's from the Brussels sprouts.
No, it's, like, all the time, though. I think it's pumpkin. It's I think Brussels I'm allergic to pumpkin.
All of a sudden?
I don't know. I'm allergic to, like, everything all of a sudden. I'm allergic to adhesive.
Oh, yeah. You're allergic to air? Just air?
I'm allergic to my eyelashes. I'm allergic to cold air. Just everything. Pumpkin.
We are definitely heading for retirement.
You should
based on this conversation.
You should just try like plain pumpkin and not like the, because like, it could be something like artificial that you're allergic to.
Oh no, it's just I'm always so I feel like I've gained like 30 pounds and like just gross. I think pumpkin is betraying me in that.
No,
that
pumpkin
my
wouldn't
spirits.
Do that. Pumpkin
I'm still gonna drink it, obviously, but
power through, Brittany. All right, so we're going to kick off. We didn't talk about anything sports related on Sunday. We were just getting everybody acclimated to our new site that launched, which, by the way, guys, go check out girlganglee.com. We are live. If you haven't checked us out yet, we have merchandise, we have articles, more stuff coming soon. So again, if you missed us on Sunday, that was what that show was about. So tonight we're going to talk about the Browns and their 53-man roster because that was finalized over the weekend. And we know at this point you all probably know where we landed, where the Browns landed with the men on the roster. But we haven't had a chance to talk about it amongst ourselves. There was other big news happening today with Kareem Hunt, so we'll get into that. And some Baker Mayfield chatter that I feel like is kind of coming out of left field. So we will also dive into that. But we'll start with the 53-man roster. So we're not going to go through each position and read you through who landed the roster. I really just wanted to talk to you guys about specifically, number one, were there any surprises to you guys coming out of Saturday in terms of either who made the roster or who didn't? All right, Meredith, so I'm going to start with you since you're here. We'll get Brittany's thoughts when she gets back. But anything that jumped out at you in terms of surprises, either who made the roster or who did not?
No, nothing surprising, really. You know, and we'll get into talking about this, I'm sure, but the linebacker room makes me so nervous.
Well, it's confirmed we have the worst in the league, right? Yes. Or it was already looking that way prior to the roster cut down.
Yes. So that makes me nervous. Like, we're looking at who we've got at linebacker, and like, I don't know. I think how many snaps did Sione Takitaki have last year? I think he only had like two or three, like not that many.
He played more towards the end of the year when the entire defense was decimated. If that makes you feel any better.
Yeah. I mean, and he did okay at training camp. He's a really hard worker. So I have a lot of, confidence in him in the future. I just have a feeling it's going to take him a while to develop. But yeah, for the most part, I'm not really surprised by who got cut and who made the team. This is pretty much what I expected the team to look like.
Yeah. I think for me, there were a couple of things that I thought could go either way, depending on where they landed. But from like a wide receiver standpoint, obviously that room was pretty large coming out of training camp. And I think there were a lot of guys on the cusp of making the squad. And I really do think a lot of the wide receivers actually had a pretty solid camp in terms of how they performed. So I was really curious where they were going to go, because you had JoJo Natson, Damian Ratley. They were kind of both, it felt like, vying for the same position. You could maybe even throw DPJ into that conversation. Mm-hmm. I thought he probably had a better chance of making the roster given the fact that they drafted him, but JoJo Natson definitely felt like more of a special teams player. And would they go more that route, or would they stick with Ratley? Well, they ended up keeping JoJo Natson on the team, on the roster. And I do think that will be, from a special teams standpoint, more so than DPJ. DPJ does not really have a ton of experience when it comes to kickoff returns. So I do think that might be a place where they don't want to rush him into something that he may not be 100% comfortable with, especially when you go through an entire training camp with not having any preseason games either. So not a ton of opportunity to get a lot of reps there. And then the other place, I don't know if I was surprised, but definitely a kind of a 180 from where we were last year, was the running back room. So obviously, you know, Andrew Berry and Stefanski are heavy on fullbacks. Well, we didn't have that last year. So you had to assume that they were going to be keeping a fullback on the roster. And we had Hilliard and De'Ernest Johnson last year, and Hilliard did not make the team, which he was the running back last year that tended to get more playing time and snaps than De'Ernest Johnson. So they kind of did a 180 on that sense. Those were really my biggest takeaways. I'm with you from a defensive standpoint. It's going to be really interesting, and we're going to see, obviously, in a few days, how we stack up against the Ravens.
Myles Garrett is going to have to, like, carry that defense on his back. Like, he cannot get hurt. that's the one thing, because I remember we did a bad take tournament, and the worst take I had last year was that the secondary was so deep they didn't need Myles Garrett, and then that might be the worst take I've ever had, because then we saw what happened after Myles Garrett was suspended for the rest of the season.
Yeah, so. And it was not pretty.
No, God, not at all. So that defense makes me nervous, especially when you look around the AFC North and realize that they actually have some really good offenses, and it's, you know, they're not going to be facing a decimated Steelers offense anymore. They're not going to be facing a decimated Bengals offense anymore. Like, I have a feeling that Joe Burrow is probably going to have a pretty good rookie year. I don't know what Big Ben is going to look like, but supposedly he's in shape. But either way, it's, you know, you've got your veteran quarterback over there. You've got Lamar Jackson, and we know what the Ravens have in Lamar Jackson. So just in the division, that makes me nervous, because it's not like we're facing any weak offenses going into this season. Because that was kind of what we looked at last year, was like, well, the Bengals offense, nothing to shake a stick at. Steelers offense, nothing to shake a stick at. Ravens, initially we're like, oh yeah, we got the Ravens, and then, you know, Lamar Jackson just
they blew up,
lit up. So so it's gonna be a really, really tough. I think that's probably going to be the biggest test for the Browns, is how this defense steps up.
Yeah. So speaking of Myles Garrett, you brought him up, and I wanted to just touch on quickly, because he really hasn't practiced. He's been dealing with the wrist injury. So we haven't seen a lot out of Myles Garrett. We obviously know he's in great shape. There's videos of him looking incredible when it comes to lifting weights, conditioning, and whatnot. But it's so different when it comes to actually being in football shape. So, like, that is the one thing. Like, I think these first few games, because we just haven't had the time specifically and those preseason games, not that the starters played all that often, but they were going full speed for the most part, at least for a few snaps or a quarter at the most. So I am a little bit anxious, and I do think things could get a little bit sloppy these first few games. And I'm hoping, though, that that's not just the Browns. I'm hoping that that's just an NFL-wide spread thing where it's both teams kind of looking like they're not maybe 100% in terms of conditioning or just being 100% polished.
I think there's going to be a lot of ugly football to start off.
Yeah.
Just because I want to say there's 8 teams total that have new head coaches this year. So there's, you know, there's a lot of turnover in not just the Browns. Now with the Browns, it's a little more difficult because it's new GM and new head coach and new offensive coordinator and a new offense. So, you know, while you had other teams doing their 11 on 11s and, you know, running scrimmages, you had Baker learning footwork. You know, you had your offensive line learning new terms. You have, you know, a left tackle that had to learn to go from right to left. So I think that the Browns are a little bit behind the ball on that because they just had so much more ahead of them than the other teams did. But a lot of teams had a lot of turnover. And then even if you look at like the Titans, they literally just signed Jadeveon Clowney yesterday.
I know.
So, I mean, this he's had zero time with Mike Vrabel. He's had zero time with that team. So I think week one, especially, it's going to be some real ugly football.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And here's the thing. And I'm actually writing an article in release of the season kicking off just about like my thoughts on the beginning of the season, what September football means, because it's so, if you remember, if you rewind back to, oh, I'm going to let Brittany in. If you rewind back to a year ago against the Titans, the home opener, obviously going into a season with a ton of hype, you had, obviously we just totally shit the bed. Hi, Brittany. Welcome back.
Hi, Britt. Hi, guys.
Missed
you.
I'm going to get back to you, but you froze after I asked you that question and your face was like sheer panic. And I'm like, oh no. I was like, how does Brittany really feel about the roster? Well,
I would say text our girl gang group because Jenna, the queen, got a screenshot of it and sent it to all of us.
Oh yeah. She sent it to me individually too. So now I have that forever.
Which is great. just a moment in time. We were just talking about, we were just going into, you know, with the lack of preseason, obviously how different training camp looked, like we're going to probably end up seeing a lot of sloppy football, even though I was just touching on, like, if you rewind to a year ago against the Titans, we actually had all of the preseason off season and we still opened with like super sloppy football. So like, can we really get any worse this year? I don't know. Like, I guess like for me and September football, it's so easy to overreact at the beginning, like in the first quarter of the season, but there's only going to be 4 games played this month.
Like,
let's not panic. Let's not hit the panic button immediately. The reality is we're not going to be favored to win this game on Sunday. So like, bring the expectations down a notch, a few notches, which I know is really hard to do because we beat the Ravens last year once. And
once.
Really early on. I don't know how that happened.
Only 2 games. We only played them twice. So we're batting 500 against the Ravens last year.
The first, the first quarter and a half of the second Ravens game was really good.
Yes. Yeah.
So they played the Ravens well 5 quarters last year, guys.
That's
5
right.
out of 8. That's not bad.
Talk about a positive spin. This is what we are doing this for.
This Hashtag is the stats. Spin zone.
Okay, so Brittany, I'm going to go back to you because I want to make sure we hear from you on the final roster, the cutdown. Did you think that there were any glaring issues, misses, wins? What were your thoughts overall?
I don't see any like glaring issues, but again, like you were just saying, it's hard to tell until you see it. We haven't seen much of anything on the field. Again, I don't watch the preseason stuff, so I don't know what any of these people look like. So going based off of last year,
you're the Ravens.
Yeah, exactly. My my like favorite way to measure things is gut. So what my gut tells me about all of this. The one thing that, you know, Brie, I think you tweeted about it over the weekend. How many tight ends we have. Like,
which they did end up releasing Farrell Brown.
They did. I saw that.
Yeah, we did. To your point, we did on Saturday have five tight ends and a fullback.
Yes, and a fullback. That's the other thing. Like, I'm just so excited to see this style of football.
Yeah.
This gets me really excited because it's something that, you know, we haven't – well, you can't compare anything to last year or the 2 years prior to last year because I don't even know how to explain what those were like. I don't know what kind of plan they had in those years. I don't know what kind
– They didn't.
No. They just sort of said, well, we're just going to maybe give it our best shot. I don't even know if that's true, honestly, now that I think about it. But no, like I'm-
As long as everyone had fun, right?
Yeah.
I hope everyone has a good time.
I'm looking forward to Kevin Stefanski's style football. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, and it's still, keep me honest here because I'm not 100% up to speed on the all things internet / Browns today. But we still at this point don't know who's calling the plays, right? They haven't formally announced who will be calling plays. Is that right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so- Do you guys think that there's anything to that in terms of how, like, obviously we're going into Baltimore on Sunday, like they're preparing for the Browns as well as are we preparing for them, but they still don't know if Alex Van Pelt will be calling the plays or Kevin Stefanski. So what do you guys put any weight into that at all? Do you think this is strategy? Do you think this is strategy by the Browns or do you think it's just, they don't actually know.
My conspiracy brain wants to think that it's strategy and this is all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan, guys. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite things to say. Oh, yeah. I don't know that it actually is, so I'm not going to predict either way. But again, when you have smart people doing smart things, they probably do have a reason for not announcing who's going to be calling plays yet. That would be my guess.
I'm not worried about it just because everything that has come out of Berea since day one with this current regime is everyone on the same page, everyone wanting the same thing, everyone working together. So it's not like you had an offensive coordinator trying to throw the head coach under the bus because he thought that he was going to get the head coaching position if he got the head coach fired. You know, you don't have a head coach saying, I'm driving the bus, you know, and just being so like, I feel like Kevin Stefanski is smart enough that if he feels overwhelmed by calling plays and running the game at the same time, like he's not going to have a problem calling Alex Van Pelton to call the plays if he's the one who starts out that way, as opposed to Freddie Kitchens, who it was very, very clear from the second drive that calling plays was too much for him to handle.
Flash clock management.
Being a game, like managing the game and calling plays was way too much for him. And instead of saying, okay, I need help from my offensive coordinator, he wears a Pittsburgh starter. You know, it just like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I get so annoyed.
Every time I forget about that, it gets brought up again. I get mad all over again.
I know.
But that's why I'm not worried because like you said, smart people do smart things and smart people know when they need help.
Yes.
And smart people know when to ask for help. And so if Kevin Stefanski is the one calling plays on Sunday and it becomes too much for him, I have no doubt in my mind that Alex Van Pelt will step up. Maybe not like mid-game, but maybe for the following Thursday game, they'll probably work out something.
Yeah. The only other thing that gives me a moment to pause is the offensive line. Because J.C. Treader, we still don't know if he will be the starter on Sunday. And I feel like I watched Building the Browns on Sunday. I don't know if you guys watched it or if you're caught up or not, but Nick Harris, they did like a one-on-one interview with him and they haven't really talked about JC Treader being injured, but Nick Harris kind of slipped that JC was injured. So that one to me is interesting. I don't know if that was just like, he slipped up on his words. That's not what he really meant. Or if truly there's something to be concerned about. But that is the one thing that, again, like it would be really, really nice having him to be available to start on Sunday. Like we already have Jedrick going to be starting as a rookie. Mm-hmm. I just want some veteran leadership especially when it comes to the offensive line.
Yeah.
Well, they do have Jack Conklin, and he is very good.
Yeah, he's had a pretty under the radar, not really been talked about all that much in terms of training camp, what's coming out of it, which is not a bad thing. That's actually probably a very good thing.
Yeah, he was a Titans first overall pick in 2016. So, I mean, I think that says a lot. You're not going to be a team's first overall pick for nothing. And I mean, I covered him when I lived in Tennessee, and he was great there. And so far, all I've heard is good things about him here. So, I think that he's probably going to be a good, strong leadership voice on that offensive line.
Yeah, that's your boy, Meredith.
He is. Yeah,
I remember months ago we were talking about him.
I know. I was all in on the Browns signing Jack Conklin when those rumors came out, and I was so happy when it happened.
Who was the other one that you wanted to?
Alex Boone. He's a free agent. I don't think he's played since 2018. He was with the Vikings and then with the Cardinals. So he's worked with Kevin Stefanski before. And he retired from the NFL, but then decided that he wanted to come back, and he got into NFL shape, and then COVID happened. So he wasn't able to go to a lot of Browns facilities, or not Browns, but just not able to do what a normal free agent would do when, you know, trying to get back into the NFL. So I don't think he's signed anywhere. I don't think he'll be playing in 2020, but that was the, that was the other person I was standing for this offensive line.
Now, from the very little that I have paid attention to, you know, training camps and everything, it seems like maybe Jedrick wasn't, he had problems, right? There were some issues there.
They kind of alluded to, they weren't very outright in saying that he had issues, but they alluded to, or he alluded to, I guess, because he did say this on, I think it was Building the Browns or one of his press conferences, that like anything, it's tough to switch from one side to the other, even though he was technically protecting I can't pronounce his name.
Tagovailoa,
thank you.
I've practiced that a lot.
His strong side, he did almost like say it's like if you've been, and maybe this is a little bit extreme, but if you've been like writing with your right hand your entire life and then you switch, there's gonna be a transition period. So yeah, sure. I think they were pretty transparent about he's a rookie. You know, it's been an adjustment for him, maybe more so than they anticipated. But hey, he has one of the best offensive line coaches helping him. So at least there's that behind him.
Yes.
I'm not worried. Protect Baker. Protect
I'm
Baker.
Not worried about anything, guys.
Pretty, you're so calm.
I know, right?
I love it. That's what we need.
It's all that pumpkin. Might calm blow and you, bloated. But it also calms you down.
You'd think with all the coffee I drink, I'd be wired all the time. And that's just not. I'm basically like a stoner. That's why I don't smoke pot. Because
wait,
imagine if I did, I would just like be dead, I think.
Brittany, can I tell you something funny? Someone that I work with, who also listens to the podcast, he sent me a message like 2 weeks ago and was like, hey, I'm catching up on That's What B Said. He was like, question for you. Is Brittany a stoner? She's just so, and I was like, I started laughing and I was like, no, she's not. I was like, but I can see how you could think that because she's just, you know.
I think that. Like sometimes I wonder if like I'm catching secondhand somewhere because this, I don't know how else to explain myself.
I imagine if Brittany was a stoner, like
I
picture, like, so this is how I picture it. I picture you would like eat like a corner of a brownie, turn on a Weekend album and then fall asleep.
I mean, yeah. this is what I do now. Like I go down these weird rabbit holes. Of like anything that's stupid. Like today I was watching this video of what grass sounds like.
Excuse me?
Like somebody had a little device and they hooked it up like to grass. And I guess there's this little like machine or something that like lets you know what nature sounds like, the music that it makes. And it was so beautiful, I almost started crying.
Brittany. I know.
There's something wrong. There's a lot wrong with me.
See, we're exact opposite. When I go down rabbit holes, it's always like conspiracy theories.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I love those too.
Oh,
those,
God. Yeah. When I first stumbled on the Beyonce and Lady Gaga running the Illuminati conspiracy theory, I was on the internet for like 3 hours reading everything about the Illuminati and about like all the symbolism in Beyonce and Lady Gaga's music videos that proved that they were part of the Illuminati. I mean, like, yeah. I still believe it. I'm still completely convinced.
Yeah. So no, I will never be a stoner because I think I would just have no pulse at all. And I'd fall down into this big hole that I can't come out of. I'm already like halfway there.
Her grass is singing to you.
It was, I'm going to find it, send it to you guys. It was really beautiful. You'll love it.
I can't wait. It'll be wait.
It'll be the new intro music to the podcast.
It should be.
All right. I don't know how we got to this topic, but it was great.
This is what happens when you let me direct things.
All right, I'll get us back on track.
This is why I can't host.
Okay, so
I'm sweating. Ugh.
Don't sweat. It's fine. So we have to get into the other big news of the day regarding the Browns was they signed running back Kareem Hunt to a 2-year, $13.25 million extension. So to me, like, I honestly, this kind of came to a surprise to me. I was not expecting this news today. You know, I think we all kind of had a little bit of mixed emotions when the Browns signed Kareem. Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel about this now? Brittany, I'll start with you.
Okay, so it's difficult to say because, you know, I told someone today, I said, I'm never going to be a big fan of Kareem, but I also trust Andrew Berry enough that if he looks at this guy, I do believe that him and Kevin Stefanski believe in character, right? I think that's something that we can agree on. They want players to, you know, have a good head on their shoulders. They want them to, you know, really be a part of the team, this like teamwork mentality. We don't have a John Dorsey on our hands anymore. You know, Andrew Berry's not John Dorsey. If he looks at this kid and thinks that he's on a good path now and he's made the changes that he needs to make to not be that, you know, kind of person anymore, I trust that, you know, because I don't know the guy. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, he's the same guy. I'm not going to say that. I'll never be okay with what happens, you know, and that's why I was mad when they initially signed him. But, you know, I wasn't upset today. That's as good as I can give you, really. Like, it's fine. He's a good running back, you know, good for football. And yeah. I'll trust that Andrew Berry knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
I think
Meredith.
That's fair.
It was a little concerning because, like Brittany said, they are big character guys. Mm-hmm. But the good thing with Kareem is, like, the worst trouble that he's gotten into in, like, recent memory was he got stopped for speeding, which, you know, not a horrible offense. They found weed in his car, which, again, not a horrible offense. Like, I don't get mad, especially, I forget what they were saying, but he wasn't like speeding dangerously. He was just speeding and the cop pulled him over and then they found a little bit of weed in his car. So, I mean, that kind of thing is not a big deal in my opinion. So I'm hoping that means that he has turned a new leaf. I do hope that if he does have any kind of domestic violence issues again, I would hope they would cut him immediately. But it's a hard, like, Kareem Hunt is a hard, just enigma to wrap your head around because on the one hand, you don't like what he's done in the past, but at the same time, his talent is undeniable. Like, if you want someone who's going to help you win football games, Kareem Hunt is on that list of people who will help you win football games. Sure. I guess 2 years, 13 and a quarter million is a big upgrade from 1 year, 1 million, which is what his contract was.
Yeah.
I do get a little concerned for the future of Nick Chubb with this signing because the cap space is going to go down for next year. That's pretty much a given considering they're not going to have the same amount of revenue this year with less fans in the stands and in some cases, no fans in the stands. So revenue is going to be down for that reason, which means cap space is going to go down and, you know, we've seen what's happened with running backs around the league. So, I mean, if Nick Chubb just doesn't have an absolute monster year, you know, he is at risk of not getting an extension on his deal.
Yeah. I don't know how to feel about, does this have any type of impact on Nick Chubb's future? I'm not going there yet because I do feel like Andrew Barry is very smart in a sense of they had to have weighed those options and they clearly think very highly of Nick Chubb. And again, we have an entire year of football that needs to be played. So much can happen between now and re-signing Nick Chubb. I also feel like Nick Chubb doesn't seem the type to be like a player that will hold out for a monster contract. But if he wants to do that, by all means, if he plays up to a level that we know he's capable of, he has every right to do that and to hold out. I think with the Kareem Hunt signing, I do feel like this actually could be good value for another team if they were interested in the future. We'll see how they do as a tandem playing side by side for an entire year. But going back to just Kareem Hunt signing, you know, I will say like 2 years ago when they signed him, I had a lot of mixed emotions about him just based on his past, his troubled past. And I will say, I find myself now rooting for him. I don't want anyone to fail. Like, I don't want someone that has had a troubled past define who they become in the future. And I will say that it has been very nice to see how he has been since being with the Browns. Like, he's had probably many moments of screwing up, you know, like it, I think when you're a star and you're making a lot of money, there's a lot of chances for you to either screw up or not screw up. And I think it's really shown kind of how much he has grown as a person. Again, I think if he messes up to the extent that he did a few years ago, I don't think they would keep him. I really don't. But I also think that had to have been something that was a conversation amongst them and between them just to make sure that they were all on the same page. But yeah, it's, again, like, I'm not rooting for anyone to fail. I don't want anyone to fail. And I'm happy that he seems to have kind of come into himself and and has gotten the help that he needs or had those conversations. Obviously didn't get to play football for half a year last year, so who knows what that kind of impact had on him. He's in his hometown, that could have been a factor. But yeah, I'm rooting for him to have a good year, and I like a good redemption story when it comes to that.
Did you see the quotes about him? I forget whether it was Stefanski or Barry, but the quotes that they had about him today and the re-signing, they said progress is not linear. And that, like that hit me kind of deep, you know, because that's like when you think about it, like anything that you do and like whether you want to lose weight or you want to move ahead in your career or, you know, it's not a straight line up. Like it's going to be like up, down, up, down, up, down. And that's so when I want to say it was Andrew Barry said progress is not linear. That's sort of that was like the thing that kind of like had me do a complete 180 and be in the same boat as you, Bree, and like 100% wanting Kareem Hunt to succeed. Because he's had a few backslides. Like, I think, what was it, like a year ago, he got into a bar fight. Then earlier this year, like we said, he got, you know, pulled over on a traffic stop. But, you know, since then, it's been squeaky clean, so.
Yeah, I mean, we have someone who isn't on a team who knelt for the national anthem and got blackballed from the NFL. So I just go back to like, there are so many football players that are actually, that still have jobs in the league or have had jobs in the league that have done a lot of really bad things. And then you have a man, and we don't need to get into this debate because I don't want to have this debate, but then you have a man who is just trying to bring awareness or who was trying to bring awareness to social injustices, who essentially has never played another snap of football in his life. So I just think like, you know, the NFL, they've screwed up their priorities in a lot of different ways where they, number one, they aren't the judge and the jury when it comes to a lot of these matters. And unfortunately, they've made themselves, they've inserted themselves in situations where they shouldn't be making the call one way or the other. So that's my two cents on that. I don't want to get into a Colin Kaepernick debate at all because that will go down a very different path. And I think we all know how we all feel about that.
Yeah. I mean, just between the three of us, there won't be a debate because I'm pretty sure all three of us have the same feelings.
So. Yes, very true.
Yeah, we need to get a guest on here who like hates us just to argue with us. Because it seems like for the most part, we're always on the same page We need to get someone on here that just can't stand us.
Yeah, like, there's been on here. Very, very few things that we have disagreed on this podcast.
Yeah.
So just tweet that out. Be like, who hates me?
Oh, I'm sure we'll have a line.
On our podcast.
Everyone who hates us, please send us a letter.
you have to send it to the P.O. box, and it has to have a fun two requirements. Send it to the P.O. box, and it has to have a really fun stamp.
Yes. And then you come on and just have at us. Just go.
It'll be the Dale Mail episode.
Yeah, we'll read them out loud. All right. Well, I'm going to move into our second favorite guy, which is Baker Mayfield. I don't know why I said he was our second favorite guy. Whatever.
I mean, I have my bless him koozie tonight. So
listen, my favorite list is getting so long. I don't even know who's top 10 anymore. I'm just in love with everyone.
Okay, thank you for that. So Baker Mayfield, this is not coming from him directly, but Baker's back talk is back. It was circulating around some talk shows this morning. It was popping up on my feed here or there. I sent it to both of you guys. And I genuinely want to know, do we feel okay about this? Do we like not want this chatter to happen? Because like, I was like, no, let's just keep Baker under the radar, please. Like, stop. And then on the flip side, you have, was it ESPN that their prediction was that Baker will be benched midway through the season for Case Keenum?
Yes. Yeah, so.
So which ESPN is more likely? Which is it, you guys?
Yeah, so ESPN ran their season simulator. And I think in like somewhere between week 9 and 12, they said that Baker was going to get benched, which I just.
How do these simulations work?
So I think we're all living in a simulation.
Well, yeah, already. Obviously. I mean, I've been saying that for like a year. But these football simulations, though, who does them? Like, who generates these? Who's the god of these things?
I don't know. I really want to know what they use to do their predictions. Because I wonder if they just plug everything into Madden and just play a lot of Madden. And then,
and then they bench Baker? Is that what happens in Madden?
I don't know.
I want to know like all the analytics behind this. I want to know who's in charge, how many different simulations they are. Because if there's like a billion different simulations and Baker Mayfield happens to not play, you know, half the season in one of them, I'm like, cool, whatever. Like, computers are wrong too sometimes, I assume. So I'm not worried about that. What was the other thing? The national attention. Okay. So here's my thing on that. I'm okay with it now because the last time when it all blew up in our face and it was a catastrophe, that all happened like months prior. Like, we were doing this hype thing for months and months and months and getting, oh, we're going to playoffs 14-2, rah, like, you know, but that was a long time. Now, you know, we're like 3 days away from the season starting, right? So if they want to talk about, you know, oh, I think Baker's going to be good. Cool. I like it. Let's do it. I think Baker's going to be good too. I'm all for it. I'm on the Baker train. I think he's going to have a big year. And yeah, I'm good. Hype me up.
So I'm going to say this. I think the only situation where Baker gets benched is a horrific injury because
don't say that. Get that out of the universe.
No, she I'm puts not saying, these things in the universe.
I'm not saying no.
Get it
no,
back.
Let me.
You can't let me finish these things, Mert.
Let me finish. Hear me out. Because Kevin Stefanski is not going to put Baker in a position to fail. Alex Van Pelt is not going to put Baker in a position to fail. So that's why I don't believe the Baker gets benched halfway through the season, because this coaching staff is going to do everything for him. I think his offensive line is going to do everything for him. And then his weapons around him, like Jarvis and Odell and Kareem and Nick Chubb, they are all going to like run through walls for him. So that's why I'm looking at this and saying, there's no way. Like, Baker is too talented and he has too much support around him for him to perform so poorly that he gets benched. So that's why I'm looking at this and saying the only way this happens is with an injury. Like, I just don't see Baker getting benched this year otherwise.
Yeah. How do you think Case Keenum would do?
Well, I mean, he and Stefanski already have a relationship from Minnesota. I mean, I think he's a good backup. So, I mean, if something bad happens and my table is wood. I think he's good for, you know, half a game to a game, but you know, Case Keenum is not the person that I would want starting.
Yeah, but like I feel lucky that we do have him because you know there is a history there and there's a comfort level there, I'm sure. You know, so I'm it's fortunate that we have him as backup. So if God forbid that should happen, you know, I don't think it would be as disastrous that it would be with, you know, someone else in the back.
Yeah, exactly. Like I have so much more confidence in Case Keenum than I do in Drew Stanton. Like, yeah, I would take Case Keenum. No offense. Sorry, Drew, but 10 times out of 10, I'm taking Case Keenum as my backup over Drew Stanton.
Yeah. No, same.
All right, guys. So we're going to move on and wildly speculate how the season's going to go. Because why not?
Wildly speculating.
Okay. I mean,
before we get to this.
Yes.
What if, so I was going through and I have like in my mind about what I think of every game, but I have not looked and seen what the record is. I'm looking at every game in a vacuum. Are you guys going to disown me and kick me out of the gang if I accidentally predict 8-8?
Yes.
Yeah. No, you will be cut off immediately.
No right hesitation. Now.
So I'm going to be counting on my fingers to make sure.
Here's what we're going to do. Okay. We're going to go game by game here and we're not going to like drag this out and make it a big thing. No, like, oh, well, if this happens.
Yeah, you don't need to give a reason.
We're not doing that. I didn't even look at this again. Okay, the last time I looked at the schedule thoroughly was probably like 2 months ago. So even when I was getting this together, I copy and pasted it and I was like, I'm just going to go with my gut and deliver what I think based on my gut right now. Because let me tell you, it's very hard. You guys know that I do that like football thing where I pick them every week for my uncle. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got it a couple of days ago. I still haven't done it because it's just so hard this year. It's like, you know, I don't, these spreads and everything, I'm just like, I don't know anything about these teams anymore. I haven't, you know, it's hard to keep up or to pay attention. There's no, you know, no preseason games, nothing. So we're going in this blind and it's going to be great. And I'm tweeting so that everyone can join in. It's not here if they want to know our predictions. So give me 1 second.
Yeah, I'm also going to throw something else at you guys. And I don't want you to read this in the rundown. Like, I need, like, I need initial gut reactions to this. But I did a couple of over-unders for the game on Sunday as well. So I'm going to get your guys' opinions on that. And we're going to see how you guys did after Sunday. So don't scroll down on the rundown. Just stick up here with me. And we'll see how you guys do on that, too. And we'll have people on Twitter weigh in as well.
Let the tweet out. Okay. So anyone that wants to join us for this part, welcome.
All right.
All right, let's look at the schedule, ladies.
You guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. So game one, Sunday, September 13th, we have the Ravens. Win or loss, Brittany, I'm starting with you. Do I need to write these down? I don't have a pen.
Don't worry. It'll be on YouTube, so we can just listen to it later.
Okay, great. Oh, Meredith, yes, write them down because we need to know where the record lands. What if Brittany goes 8-8, I'm going to die.
I would never know what you're talking about.
She's gonna predict way too many wins. I know that already.
All right. Okay. So we're not thinking about the spread because we don't have that every game. Nope. So this is just win or loss.
Just win loss. Doesn't matter.
Yes.
Okay. Win loss. Baltimore. Loss. This is gonna be a loss.
Shit. I also am going to say loss.
Mm-hmm.
Meredith.
I think it's going to be a loss as well.
Three L's.
Guys, this is not a good start.
Not a good start.
Well, like,
okay.
Here's the thing. Lamar Jackson is...
Lamar Jackson.
Baltimore knows what they have in each other. This is going to be the first time that this Browns team is playing a full game together. Not a scrimmage, not an 11-on-11.
Yes.
So it's going
to
be...
Does anyone have Baltimore... I mean, sorry, the Browns winning? I need people to offset this.
I might take them on Sunday against the spread because it's like 7.5, I think.
Yeah.
So I might take them because I don't know if they're going to – I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I still have to decide that. But does anyone think the Cleveland's going to win?
When's the last time we've won the first game? What's the stat? How do we not know this?
Oh, I don't know.
That's something 2 years ago.
The odds are not in our favor.
Year. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh my God, I remember that tie game. That was so miserable.
Oh yeah, that was 2 years ago.
I was at work for like 16 hours that day. I wanted to like jump in Lake Erie when it was done.
Okay. All right, so let's move on.
Game two. Mm-hmm. We're going to turn around very quickly on a Thursday night against the Bengals.
Yeah,
win. This is 8:20. I'm going win as well. So we got two wins. Mm-hmm. Meredith, you win for a win.
I'm going to say a loss just because it's a
win.
Meredith, you're really going to have them go 0-4 to start.
You're like
never mind. The Washington football team is next. So.
Yeah, oh yeah. Washington football team is going 0-16. That's my prediction for them.
All right, so yes, game three against the Washington football team.
It's a win.
W.
Yeah. W. Okay, number four, at the Cowboys.
W.
Sunday game, 1 p.m. I'm going to go loss.
Really? So Bree says it's an L.
I don't know, guys.
That's a tough one. That's almost a push. I am going to go in the positive direction for that. I'm going to say a win. I think they're going to start the season 2-2.
You know what I really want to do is have them win 16 games, but I'm not going to do that. Okay. So then we have a home game against the Colts. 4:25 game. Hope we get us some Tony Romo on this game. I'm going to go with win.
Win.
I'm on the roller coaster.
This is just my gut speaking. I'm just like, I'm the mouthpiece for my gut right now.
I'm gonna go win too with the Colts. I don't think they've been the same since Andrew Luck retired.
No.
Okay. Then we're at Steelers the following week. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go a loss here. I'm gonna have a splitting with the Steelers, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm gonna do the same.
Meredith?
I know. I'm thinking. This is so tough because, like, we don't know what we got. Like, it's going to be – I know. Like, we could have Big Ben. I think it's going to be – yeah.
That's the thing. It'll depend on their quarterback.
You know what?
Sure will.
You know what? I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to say W. I think this is going to be revenge for Myles Garrett.
Yes. I love it. I love that storyline. Write that down.
Also, it might not be, like, a super huge home field advantage. Just
no.
I don't know. Some of these places don't have, like, fans. Some of them, you know, we have, like, 6,000 allowed, I think. So, I don't know. That might play into it, too.
Okay. So, then we are at the Bengals, another conference game.
Mm-hmm.
There will be 6,000 fans there. I'm going to go win.
I'll go win. I do think the Bengals are going to be pretty decent this year. I don't think, you know, we're going to see Cincinnati team that just rolls over. I think they're going to be good. And I think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Browns are going to win this one.
Yeah, I'm going W just because I think we're going to split with the Bengals. And I already have them losing in week one. So that means I have to go with a win here.
All right, that takes us to game eight against the Las Vegas Raiders at home. I'm going win.
That's a win.
I'm actually going to go with an L on this one just because the Raiders are strange. Like John Gruden is a weirdo and that's like one of the, like he's a wild card and that team is a wild card.
Weirdo. Okay. So this takes us into bye week. So Meredith, what is our record right now heading into the bye week?
All right. So Bree is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 3. Brittany is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 2. I am 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 3.
Okay. 5 and 3. That's, I'll take that heading into the bye week.
That's pretty on brand.
Okay.
Yeah.
So out of our bye week, we have Houston Texans at home. I'm going to go with loss.
I'm going to have to agree with you on there.
At home after a bye week. I'm going to go positive and say win.
Okay.
Have all that rest time to rejuvenate. Get their thoughts and prayers together. They're gonna just stumble.
All right. So then we have the Eagles at home. Another home game. 2 weeks in a row. I'm going another W. We're going streaking.
Who's the Eagles quarterback this year?
It's still Carson, isn't it?
Is it seriously? God, yeah. I'm so sick of him.
I'm so sick of him too. He's overrated.
I feel like he's like 50 years old. I've been in the league for like. What, a couple of years? You know what made me exhausted of him is that the Browns fans are like, oh yeah. Should have picked Carson Wentz for years. I can't.
He's barely played.
Right. So it's no, like the Browns
him,
are winning.
Him, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, like all of them. Oh, you passed on. Yeah, you passed on Deshaun. You passed on Carson Wentz. You passed on, well, like, it's no.
So okay. W, that's a W for me.
I'll go W too. Why not? I'm feeling positive tonight.
Yeah.
All right, positive. So then we are at Jacksonville Jaguars, who I believe are tanking. So I'm going to go W.
That's a definite W.
Better be.
Can't lose against a tanking team. Jason
currently
will be in the crowd.
At a 3-game win streak right now, just FYI. Okay, so then
I thought for week 9, I thought you had a loss.
Well, now week 9's a bye week.
No, I mean,
yeah, you're right. The Texans I had us losing.
You have a two-game.
I'm on a 2-game win streak.
Don't call it a streak yet.
I was looking ahead. Okay, so then week 13, we are at Tennessee Titans. I'm going to go with loss here.
I'm going with a W here.
I've got an L against the Titans. Mike Vrabel's team is – Mike Vrabel's a very good coach. That looks like a completely different team since he's taken over.
Yeah.
And they won the Jadeveon Clowney lottery, so –
Ugh. That's another one. I'm glad, man. I'm glad that's done and we don't have to. I don't even get into it. Okay, go ahead. Let's go on to week 14.
Then we are home against the Ravens. This is a Monday night game. We're winning this game. We're gonna freaking come in there and we're gonna take over the lead on the AFC North. What's gonna happen?
I'm with you because I think they're gonna split with Baltimore, and I already got the one loss out of the way. Hopefully maybe we'll figure out Lamar Jackson by then.
I think it's going to be a win too, just because it's late in the season. Like at this point, if the team isn't clicking, they're not going to be clicking. So
yeah.
All right. So then we are in New York 2 weeks in a row. First is against the Giants. I'm going to go win.
Win. The Giants can't be good, can they?
For guys that have issues with their old team, like I'm always like revenge. So win, because it's going to be every game against the Giants is going to be a revenge game.
Is it Daniel Jones? Is that their quarterback?
Danny Dimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now this is ridiculous. Stop.
Okay. Then we are at the Jets. This will be post Christmas at the Jets in New York.
How much turkey is going to be in their belly?
Yeah, or I don't know, beer, alcohol. I'm going to go, this is going to be a letdown loss. This one's going to hurt us.
No. No. No, I'm going with, I think I have them on like a all game winning streak in the second half here. No, they're
beating the Jets. You're currently on a 6-game win streak over here.
So we're going to finish strong.
I will go streaking in my neighborhood, Brittany.
I think it's going to be a loss against the Jets, too. Sorry.
God, guys.
Geez. We always seem to have these like games that we should 100% win, and we just don't. Okay, and then finally, Steelers at home. I'm going win. We're going to split. I think we're going to split with the Steelers and the Ravens.
Yeah, we're going to win. So how many is it? Like, I just...
Is Brittany at 14-2?
She's at 13-3, so woo! Close.
Brittany, and then we are going to the playoffs.
Listen, but here's the thing, guy. What did you... Okay, first of all, before I get into that, Meredith, what do you say about the last game?
Against the Steelers?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a W. I think that the rivalry is too strong. I think there's just so much ill will towards the Steelers. And I think no matter what, it's not going to be just Baker with a chip on his shoulder. I think it's going to be Myles Garrett with a chip on his shoulder too. And so I just think that this team is going to like just roll over them because they don't want to lose to this team.
Okay. So Brittany is 13-3.
Yes.
Yeah, but here's the thing, guys. Let me just explain, though.
No, I don't want you to explain yet. I want everyone in the comments, because people were playing along. I need everybody now in the comments to also share their records of where they landed if they were playing along. So, Brittany, 13-3. Meredith, where did you land?
I'm actually at 11-4. Wait, hold on. 1, 2.
You're missing a game.
Yeah, I know I am. Listen, I can only count up to 4, okay? I majored in music. 3, 4. I'm 11-5. And Bree, you are 10-6.
Ooh, wow. 10-6. I can get down with that.
So I'm just relieved that I didn't accidentally predict 8 and 8. I was so scared.
Eight. Let me go over the comments really quick. So we've got a 16-0. I dig that, true dog. 11-5, 20-0. So we're clearly gonna go to the Super Bowl. 12-4, 8-8. You've got an 8-8 guy.
Oh, Brittany. No, who did that? He's getting blocked.
Electric Electric Pusha, you're getting the block. 9-7, 10-6 was Jenna, 12-4. It won't happen. 10-6 plus 4 playoff wins. That was Danny. Danny with the cute butt. That's my nickname. We got 10-6. So everyone's hovering, for the most part, everyone's hovering above 8-8, Brittany. Not
Listen,
below it, mind
I,
you.
I appreciate that so much. I do think that everyone's playing it safe, which I respect, but I absolutely don't believe in doing that. So I'm going all in. Saying we're going to see like the best second half that we've ever seen the Cleveland Browns play. I think maybe I had one loss in there.
One. Yeah.
Okay. Guys, we are finishing so strong unless we're already so far ahead that like, you know, we're starting to sit people for the playoffs, then we might lose, you know, the last game or so, but no, like it's happening. 13-3. I like that.
Listen, I would
be a strong prediction.
I don't think it's that crazy though.
This would be our best. These would be our best records since when? 2007, mm-hmm. Coming off of a COVID / no off season, new coaching staff and
season. Yeah, new head coach, new GM, new everything.
Talk about a miracle. I mean, we need one. We are ready.
Okay. If you know for a fact that if the Browns make the playoffs this year, even if it's only like a wild card game and they lose in a wild card game, you know Disney is making a movie about this because like it's the COVID season of all of the teams in the like because of all of the teams in the NFL, the Browns have had the most turnover with personnel, with front office on the team. It's the worst defense in the NFL, at least that's how they're rated currently. And what else? Just like everything else surrounding it. And like on all the injuries in training camp. Now granted, a lot of teams had a lot of injuries in training camp, but the Browns felt particularly bad this year. So just with everything that they're going against, I would say in like 18 months, there's going to be a new movie on Disney Plus about the Browns if they go to the playoffs.
Okay. And then maybe this is a podcast for a different day, but who would play Kevin Stefanski? Would it be Clooney?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
And think about that.
Okay, we're going to have to do casting for
Yeah, we should do casting for like everyone.
Yes.
Okay, now we're getting ahead of ourselves. Yes. Okay, guys. So this is going to be the final segment of the show. If you guys are in the comments,
Idris Elba is going to be Andrew Barry.
Stick around because we're going to do some over-unders for the game on Sunday if you want to play along. So Meredith and Brittany, you guys are going to be blind to this. They're not prepared. This is going to be gut reactions, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, so I am going to start with Myles Garrett sacks over under 2.5.
This is just for week one?
Yes, this is just against the Ravens on Sunday.
I'm going to go under. I think he's going to have either 1.5 or 2. So I don't think it's going to be 0, but I don't think he's going to get more than 2.5 sacks.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under 2. I'd say maybe 2. Maybe 2.
Okay, so you guys both taking the unders. I got to write these down too. Okay. All right, this is, pay attention. Pass attempts over under 29. So Stefanski with Cousins averaged 29.6. Mm-hmm. Will we be heavy on the run or will he go heavy on the pass?
I'm going under. I think it's going to be heavy on the run, especially in week one.
Under. Okay.
29. Well, first of all, how are they so good at making these?
I made these up.
Oh. Brie, how are they so good at making these? 29.
Did you guys ever play Sporkle back when it was like really popular? Because I feel like we should turn these into Sporkle quizzes on Girl Gang Cleveland website.
That'd okay. Be fun. I'm going to, okay, yeah, I'll take the under on that too.
Okay, both under. 20,
yeah, that seems like a lot.
Okay. Number of penalties. Over, under, I'm going to go 7.5. Last year, mind you, our opening game was 18.
Jesus.
Oh, God. I'm going with the over. It's not going to be 18. And I know that, you know, Kevin Stefanski isn't going to want to. I think it was a lot of, like, false start penalties last year, which is one of the most annoying penalties ever, because that's just, like, my nephews play peewee football, and they don't have false start penalties. So I'm still going to go over just because it's the first game of the year, and this is, again, nerves. The first time. Yeah, nerves. It's the first time that they're playing together as a team.
Brit? I'm going to take the under on this.
Coach Steph is going to have them.
That's my whole reason. I'm like, no, he's not going to let them. He's not a Freddie Kitchens team. This is not going to happen again.
He's going to have them running suicides on the sideline during the game.
I think, you know what it is, guys? I think that they just respect him too much to make mistakes like this. So
one would hope.
I'm taking the under on this.
All right. Next, I'm going to switch it back to the offense. Baker Mayfield interceptions. Over under 1.5.
Under.
Ooh, she was confident in that.
Yeah. He had, what 21 or 22 total last year?
He had enough.
Yeah. I'm going to go with under also. I think he's going to have one interception, so we're going to go under.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do a wink with this. Shovel passes.
No!
Over under one.
No. And you think I put evil stuff into the universe?
You think there will be any shovel passes? I only put it at one.
No, but you know what worries me is that in the playoffs last year, Kevin Stefanski, when he was with the Vikings, he actually called for one of these, and it made me want to throw up. I don't talk about it, but no. We are better than this. No shovel passes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go under. None. I will chug a lot of alcohol if they call a shovel pass play. Oh, I will chug it if they call it and it works.
Okay. I really hope that happens. If they're going to call it, like, please work.
I mean, I've got plenty of White Claws.
I think I did see one go wrong in training camp. So I think there's one that exists.
They all go wrong. That's why they shouldn't do it.
Okay. And finally, number of times OBJ gets shit on. I'm just kidding. Number of touchdowns over 102. You know what? The only reason I did that is because literally every player has been, like, joking with him about it publicly on Instagram.
He's joked about it himself on his own Instagram. Like, that's king right there. That's some king stuff going on.
Okay, but seriously, touchdowns over under
touchdowns.
Two.
Over under two.
Score two touchdowns at all.
I'm taking the under on that.
Yeah.
I want to say it's gonna be. I hope it's a low scoring game, because if it is a high scoring game, it's probably going to be on the wrong side. So we'll say under two touchdowns. Okay. I'm not confident in that, but.
All right, ladies, that's all I have for you. So based on these results, I think we're going to lose.
Well, we all have week one as a loss.
That's so we're consistent.
Oh, man. Well, this was fun. We're going to have to do this each game. We'll put together some over-unders.
Love it.
Have some fun with it.
Loved it.
Yes. I'm so excited for football to be back. Like, this is great.
I know. One question, though. Okay, so, like, you know, the season starts on Sunday. We can't go to games. We can't tailgate. I have those pants, Brie, like the orange ones.
Oh, me too.
Where the hell am I supposed to wear those? I can't just wear them out.
You should wear them out. So,
places that aren't tailgates.
Well, Sixth and Barley, I think, is having people.
You can go to B-Dubs. Did you get the season ticket pass for B-Dubs? Yeah.
Actually, you know where I think I might go? I might go to High and Dry, because one of my good friends owns it, and he said they're having, you know, like, obviously socially distanced. But it's a really cool bar, and they're having, like, a little, like, they have beer specials and food specials. So wanted to plug them in because Mark is a great guy.
Hi, Mark.
So I think that's where I'm going to go, but I can't wear those pants anywhere.
So yes, you can.
We should plan an event this year if we can keep it safe and socially distanced.
We should do that. That'd be fun. Yeah.
You should wear them to Dunkin' Donuts.
I should.
Just like,
sleep in them. I might sleep in them Saturday night.
Pumpkin spice. Ooh,
pants. Okay. Let's just say.
So if you sleep in them Saturday night and then the Browns win on Sunday, you realize you have to sleep in them. You can't wash them and you have to sleep in them before every game. Like,
can't that's, wash them.
What? That's how superstitions work, because then you'll wash the luck out of them.
Brittany, I really like everyone's responses to where you can wear them. The answers are work, weddings, grocery store, baptisms, funerals, and where can't you wear those? So, I mean, really good ideas for you.
I love these people.
I think baptism might be my favorite answer.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, thank you guys all for tuning in to us live tonight. This was a really fun show. We will be sure to do some interactive stuff as we head into next week as well. I have nothing more to say, but go Browns, shock the world, shock the Ravens on Sunday. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple iTunes. Please send us a rating or review. If you didn't get a chance to play along with our Browns record predictions, shoot us a note. Again, check out our tweets. We have a giveaway going on with Where I'm From for some new gear, specifically Baker gear. That'll be going on through Friday. We'll announce a winner. Don't forget to check out our site, Girl Gang. Follow us at Girl Gang Clee. We love you guys, and we will see you and talk to you all next week. Go Browns!